It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Ken Williams, sports with Sunny Delphiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Winter wallop.
Yes, this is a big one.
That is our top story this Monday. A powerful nor'easter dropping buckets of snow from Maryland to Maine today. Winter storm warnings up for much of our listening area right on through tomorrow.
Several inches of snow on the ground in and around the New York City area. You see, we've got the light snow right now from Philadelphia up towards Hartford, and then Boston's going to get in on this.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean says New York City could set snowfall records from this monster.
This will go down in some of the, you know, the biggest snowfall totals in New York City history, definitely.
100 million Americans are under winter storm warnings today. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says only essential travel being allowed in the Big Apple.
This is not a storm to underestimate. Take it seriously. This is a dangerous storm.
A state of emergency up in New York City. Speed and vehicle restrictions in place in Pennsylvania. The wicked weather also shutting down a number of COVID vaccination sites, too.
We have many, many seniors coming out to these clinics, and we just think it's far safer to postpone Tuesday as well.
Vicki Kistler, the public health director in Allentown, Pennsylvania, joining us earlier today on the live line was Family Life's Bob Price. He's in Bath, New York.
Bill, the roads aren't the greatest. There is a lull in the action right now. This is the first round of a 1-2 winter punch that the Northeast is experiencing today. Now, not everybody is getting this. Of course, the traditional lake belts aren't seeing it as much, but the eastern Twin Tiers, eastern Pennsylvania, seeing a light snow, and it will only start to intensify as the afternoon turns into the evening. Especially those overnight hours, some parts of the Poconos will be picking up 2.5 feet from this nasty nor'easter, Bill. The other thing to keep an eye on today is the winds. Those winds will pick up in intensity, gusting to up to 25 miles per hour at times. That will cause whiteout conditions and drifting snow through the afternoon and evening hours.
That's Family Life's Bob Price. A snow emergency now up in Athens, Pennsylvania until 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Your full forecast later in the broadcast. President Biden meeting with the GOP today. They're going to talk about that COVID-19 relief bill. The Republican plan, much smaller than the nearly $2 trillion proposal Democrats want.
Well, it'll be less than 1.9 because much of what the administration has laid out has nothing to do with COVID-19.
Ohio Republican Rob Portman says they want $600 billion in COVID-related funding, including $160 billion for vaccine distribution. Vermont Democrat Bernie Sanders says that's not enough.
We have got to deal with this pandemic. We have got to make sure that we are producing the vaccines that we need and get those vaccines into the arms of people.
Sanders says bipartisanship is nice, but the country cannot wait for COVID relief right now. Florida Republican Rick Scott says Democrats now have a self-described socialist in charge of the nation's purse strings.
This is all being led by Bernie Sanders, who's now the Democrat head of the Budget Committee. Republicans believe in targeted relief, but this radical left agenda, we're not living even close to within our means. This makes no sense. This is just a payback to the liberal left.
Scott says today's meeting with President Biden is nothing more than smoke and mirrors. Former White House advisor Stephen Miller says President Biden is pushing a far-left agenda that's out of touch with most Americans.
Even though we're in the middle of a raging global pandemic and many people have been forced out of work, strangely, the Biden administration, despite their calls for unity, are pushing a series of hard left progressive initiatives.
Miller says now is not the time to be cutting jobs and opening up our southern border.
We talked about the energy orders and what that would do to American workers. But immigration in particular is a very significant assault on the wages and working conditions of everyday citizens. Illegal immigration is fundamentally unfair to working people of all backgrounds.
President Biden expected to take more executive action tomorrow on immigration. NBC News being accused today of protecting New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in the aftermath aftermath of that scathing report last week that showed the number of deaths from COVID in the state's nursing homes was 50% higher than what the Cuomo administration had reported.
Lester Holt's show wasn't the only one to do it. So what happened specifically on that show was I was telling them how that Governor Cuomo failed us. His book should be named, you know, not Lessons in Leadership, it should be Lessons in Failure. She stopped me and she said to me, can you say that a different way without Governor Cuomo's name and just say New York failed you?
That's Dawn Best. She says her mother died from COVID after Governor Cuomo ordered her into a nursing home instead of a hospital last spring.
I just wish that Governor Cuomo did as good a job of protecting the elderly as the press has done all along. Protecting him.
Best says she has no doubt her mother would still be alive today had she been taken to a hospital instead of a nursing home when the pandemic began last spring in New York. Chicago's back to school battle heating up. Teachers in the Windy City were told to get back to the classroom today.
Our schools are safe.
Mayor Lori Lightfoot says for teachers who don't show up for work today, they could be in trouble.
Those who do not report to work, and I hate to even go there, but we're going to have to take action.
The mayor says for teachers who do not comply with the order to head back to the classroom, remote learning programs will be cut off. Jesse Sharkey is with the Chicago Teachers Union.
We're continuing to bargain. There's a handful of really difficult issues that remain. I think if they get creative and are willing to make compromises, this is something that could be solved. But, you know, right now we're not seeing the compromises at the table that we would need.
The third largest school district in the country has spent over $100 million in getting buildings ready for students, but teachers in Chicago say they want to get the COVID vaccine before they return to the classroom. Still to come this Monday, three dead over snow shoveling happened in Luzerne County, PA this morning. Back to school in Buffalo and police pepper spray in Rochester.
Well, good afternoon to all. All eyes are on the developing nor'easter along the upper middle Atlantic coast, promising severe winter weather for parts of the area. I'll be back to detail things and break things down in the complete forecast. That's coming up in about 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Monday, February 1st. Hello, winter.
It is what it is. Got to be ready for anything.
I'm happy to see it because it hasn't been here in a long time.
The winter storm warnings up through tomorrow for much of our listening area. Powerful nor'easter blowing through right now.
The good news is it's not going to be the 40 inches of snow that we saw back in December, but we're still going to see significant snowfall over the next 48 hours or so.
Binghamton meteorologist Jason Doris says parts of northeastern PA could pick up over 2 feet of the white stuff by tomorrow night.
On Monday afternoon, this is when we're going to see most of our snowfall accumulations as moderate to heavy snow bands start making their way into our region with 1 to 2 inches per hour possible, especially in northern PA.
PennDOT has reduced speed limits to 45 miles an hour on a number of interstates. Vehicle restrictions also in place. Spokeswoman Fritzi Schreffler.
Anybody that can stay home, please do. And people often ask us, why? Why do you do the commercial restrictions? The less traffic that we have out there, the easier it is for us to do our job.
Over 300 snowplows trying to keep up with the storm this afternoon in Pennsylvania. A disagreement over snow shoveling has led to the deaths of 3 people in the town of Plains, Pennsylvania, in Luzerne County. The police chief there called it a double murder and suicide. The incident taking place around 9:30 this morning. No names have been released yet. Police say the murder victims were a husband and a wife who were shot to death. A disturbing body cam video has been released by the Rochester Police Department. It shows a 9-year-old girl being arrested, then pepper sprayed by police.
No! I want my dad!
You're not gonna run off.
I want my dad!
Come on.
Can I help you?
Come on.
Police say the girl was apprehended, then pepper sprayed when she refused to get into the back seat of a patrol car after running away from home. Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren.
I don't know what it's like to be a cop, but I know what it's like to be a mother. And I'm asking for everybody to understand, to hear, to listen, to empathize, but most of all, to act differently.
An investigation into that incident now underway in Rochester, New York. Thousands of students in Buffalo back in the classroom today for the first time in nearly a year.
I'm excited. I think we're in a place where our students need to start returning, especially our youngest students, especially our neediest students. it's time for them to begin some in-person learning.
Buffalo School Board member Larry Scott says kids in pre-K through second grade, high school seniors, and students with special needs return to the classroom today. This parent says it's about time.
We have been saying all along that Buffalo parents should have the right to have a choice whether their kids go to school or not, just like everybody else. We're the last school in Western New York to be sending our kids to school.
Sam Radford says kids learn best at school, but Phil Remore with the Buffalo Teachers Federation says despite months of cleaning and sanitizing the buildings, schools just aren't a safe place to be right now.
We believe that they are not safe for our kids to be in, for the adults to be in, and that the district has a lot more to do before so that they can get the buildings in good shape.
Last week, the union filed a lawsuit to try and stop the reopening of school in Buffalo. District officials hope to have every single student back in the classroom in the Queen City by next month. With schools back in business in Buffalo, so too are those speed zone cameras. Officials say the cameras were reactivated today, but motorists won't be ticketed for any violations until March 1st to give drivers ample time to adjust to the speed limits around schools. In Buffalo, high school basketball bounces back in New York. The sport, which has been sidelined for nearly a year, tips off today, COVID-19 style.
We're not permitting spectators to start the season, which has caused some anxiety amongst people.
Mark DeFilippo with Section 6 Basketball admits that putting together a season this year will be tough, but at least it's something.
If a kid tests positive on a team, that team is going to be shut down for 10 days. With the shortened season, that's going to be detrimental, and it's going to impact teams dramatically.
Besides basketball, hockey and cheerleading can start today in New York. In Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, they're gearing up for a big day tomorrow. Family Life's Brendan Dixon.
Groundhog Day is almost here. The annual forecast offered by Punxsutawney Phil is scheduled for tomorrow at 7:25 a.m. in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. The event has been part of Western PA folk tradition since the 1880s. Around sunrise tomorrow, the popular whistle pig will emerge from his burrow. If Phil sees his shadow, it means it'll be 6 more weeks of winter. But if he doesn't see a shadow, it'll be an early spring. Because of COVID restrictions, Phil's prediction will be live streamed at visitpa.com. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Phil may want to stay in his hole for the rest of this week. Let's pass it over to Sonny. Your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start on the ice in Buffalo. Michael McLeod scored the go-ahead goal midway through the third. New Jersey snapped their 3-game skid with a 5-3 win over the Sabres. New Jersey head coach Lindy Ruff on beating his former team.
They gave us one heck of a game. I thought all the way around, four lines, 60, and then Comrie made some great saves for us to help us win a hockey game.
The loss snapped the Sabres' 5-game point streak. Kevin Hayes scored with a man advantage in overtime. Flyers beat the Islanders 4-3 in Philadelphia. To the NBA, and what a game in D.C. Down by 5 points with only 12 seconds left, the Washington Wizards rallied to shock the Brooklyn Nets 149-146 behind Russell Westbrook, who had 41 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists.
Well, I saw the time score, just try to get a quick steal. One time, like, they try to get a quick steal and go for the win. This time, we don't have nothing to lose. It's win or go home, and we need this win very badly.
Bradley Beal added 37 for Washington. The Raptors beat the Magic 115-102. Cavaliers fall to the Timberwolves 109-104. Clippers cruise by the Knicks 129-115. It is Super Bowl week. Tampa Bay Buccaneers battle the Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday, but the LA Rams trying to get to the Super Bowl after a super trade, getting Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford over the weekend, sending quarterback Jared Goff 2 first-round draft picks and a third rounder to Detroit. Major League Baseball proposing a 154-game season with expanded playoffs, which include a 1-month delay to the start of the season and full pay for players. Spring training camp set to open in just a few weeks. In college basketball, the Bucknell women moved to 8-0 with a 73-68 win over Lehigh. Syracuse big over Notre Dame. Penn State beat Purdue. St. Bonaventure falls to Dayton. In men's action, Syracuse men moved to 10-5, beating North Carolina State. Bucknell big over Lehigh. Binghamton falls to New Hampshire.
for Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, February freeze, the latest on that powerful nor'easter, plus meet Donald Trump's new defense team. And at the end of today's broadcast, the COVID screen.
I've been waiting for a resource that can help Christians think through issues of social justice, and I found it. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Michael Agapito's recent book review at Christianity Today vividly illustrates one of the challenges that Christians face when trying to apply their faith to issues of injustice. After praising much about Thaddeus Williams' new book, Confronting Injustice Without Compromising Truth, Agapito then offers a lukewarm review. His concern, even after admitting Williams' book explicitly states otherwise, is, quote, that some would use it as an excuse to remain overtly comfortable with the status quo. In other words, to even raise, much less to answer questions, as Williams' book so brilliantly does, about the way that social justice is defined and pursued today, is to be guilty of enabling the detractors, even if you clearly and repeatedly state otherwise, as Williams' book brilliantly does. Now, this kind of critique of those who just want to be sure that their efforts align with Scripture is not only unhelpful, it's far too common. Now, let me attempt here to be as clear as Scripture is. God cares about justice. The prophet Amos proclaims, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." He condemns Israel for its mistreatment of the poor. He cites corrupt practices such as false testimony, bribery, favoritism in the courts. In other words, justice is not an abstract concept. Many of the prophets all but equate Israel's failure of justice with their religious infidelity as equal reasons for the exile and other punishments that they face. And Micah, of course, famously put it this way: "He has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Of course, one of the great contributions of Christianity to human history is the very idea that all people should be treated justly. As the influence of Christianity spread around the world, God's instructions for how Israel should treat the poor and the disabled and the unborn and the foreigner spread as well. So today, both inside and outside of the church, demands to address injustices are ubiquitous. The problem today is the radical problematic views that so often undergird the cause for justice today. Most social causes assume things about justice, about God, morality, and especially about who we are as human beings that simply aren't true. And most social causes ignore or deny the only idea that has ever been able to ground human dignity in the first place, that every single human is made in the image and likeness of God. So there's the dilemma, and I've honestly been waiting for a resource that could clearly and carefully walk Christians through how we can work for justice from the solid foundation that every person is made in the image of God. I'm pleased to say Thaddeus Williams' new book, Confronting Injustice Without Compromising Truth, is that resource. As he writes, quote, "The problem is not with the quest for social justice. The problem is what happens when that quest is undertaken from a framework that is not compatible with the Bible." Today, many Christians accept conclusions that are generated from madness machines that are wired with very different presuppositions about reality than those that we find in Scripture. In the book, Williams addresses some of our culture's preoccupations with things like wokeness, critical race theory, emotivism, without ever letting us off the hook from our God-given responsibility to love Him and to love our neighbors, all of them. During the month of February, I want to send you Confronting Injustice Without Compromising Truth by Thaddeus Williams. We'll send it to you for your next gift to Breakpoint and the Colson Center. Just come to breakpoint.org/February 2021. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All eyes on the nor'easter developing and intensifying now along the upper middle Atlantic coast. It promises severe winter weather today in eastern Pennsylvania. It will impact our region, in fact, as a long-duration event, right into tomorrow night and Wednesday. Forecast details look like this. For this afternoon, cloudy. We'll have areas of snow. The heaviest snows will be in central and eastern Pennsylvania. Those snows will continue tonight, and heavy snows are likely again in central and eastern Pennsylvania, lighter amounts north and west. Temperatures this afternoon, tonight, primarily in the 20s. By the time the snow tapers tomorrow and tomorrow night, maximum accumulations will exceed 2 feet in parts of northeast Pennsylvania, but reach to less than 2 inches around the Niagara Peninsula. Temperatures through the period will be in the 20s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, February 1st. Brutal winter storm taking aim at the Northeast, 100 million Americans under. Winter storm warnings as the powerful system that walloped the West last week, dumping buckets of snow on our neck of the woods.
If you don't have to go outside, please stay indoors and make sure that the crews can get out and clear the roadways.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean says it's not just the snow causing problems today. Wicked winds also making travel treacherous in a lot of spots.
Winter storm warnings in effect from Philadelphia through New York and up towards Boston and Maine. And the problem is we're going to have very strong winds with this. 50, 60, 70 mile per hour winds offshore.
Cities from Maryland to Maine bracing for the biggest snowfall of the season. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
This is not a storm to underestimate. Take it seriously. If you do not need to be out and about on Monday, stay home.
States of emergency now up in a number of major cities along the East Coast as the region braces for high winds and heavy snow. Brandon Scott is the mayor in Baltimore.
We ask that residents help us with our efforts by remaining indoors unless absolutely necessary.
Ground blizzards and whiteout conditions expected in major cities today as this powerful nor'easter slams into our region. President Biden meets with the GOP today. They're going to talk about COVID-19 relief. Louisiana Republican Bill Cassidy says their plan to spend $600 billion instead of nearly $2 trillion, which is what Democrats want to spend, provides targeted relief.
We're targeted to the needs of the American people, treating our tax dollars as if there are tax dollars, not just money to spend, and putting it where we need to come out of the pandemic.
But Vermont Democrat Bernie Sanders says the Republican plan doesn't go far enough to pull the country out of the grips of COVID-19.
If Republicans want to work with us, they have better ideas on how to address those crises, that's great. But to be honest with you, I have not yet heard that.
Sanders says the country doesn't have time to wait for a better stimulus plan from the GOP. Former President Trump shaking up his legal team ahead of his impeachment trial in the Senate next week. Political pundit Daniel Littman.
It's a pretty surprising move given that there's only a week left until this trial is supposed to start.
Two lawyers have been let go after not supporting Trump's push to focus on fraud claims tied to the election. The new lawyers chosen to represent the ex-prez will argue that impeachment is unconstitutional because Donald Trump is out of office. Health officials say new COVID cases are down 40% over the past 3 weeks. Former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb says we're not out of the woods just yet.
We can't take our foot off the brake too quickly in terms of the things that people are doing, like wearing masks and being more vigilant. That's really probably what's bringing down infection rates across the country right now. The new variants create a lot of risk.
The COVID variants have now been identified in 32 states across the country. The State Department says it's alarmed by the events going on in Myanmar. That country's military promises a free and fair election after it ousted the government of a Nobel Peace Prize winner, then detained her.
Military-run television broke the news. The generals are back in control.
We're talking about overturning a constitution that the generals themselves wrote, that they said just yesterday that they would abide by.
UN Rapporteur Tom Andrews, the generals claim Aung San Suu Kyi's landslide victory over the army-backed opposition party in November's election was fraudulent, something electoral officials deny. Suu Kyi calling on supporters to resist.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. Well, you knew this would eventually happen. A movie now in the works that tells the story of GameStop's trading frenzy.
MGM has scored the rights to a movie about the group of rogue day traders shaking up Wall Street. The tentative title is The Anti-Social Network.
Deborah Rodriguez reporting 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the state of public education with Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Snow-covered Houghton, New York. Ralph, is there ever a time where it's not snow-covered there? I just want to know.
Actually, Bob, up until about 10 days ago, I could see the grass outside my house.
Oh, my goodness.
all that bad reputation that we have in Western New York, you need to rethink that, Bob.
Hey, that global warming, that must be real. Well, hey, for the second time, Ralph, there is a call to cancel standardized testing in New York due to the pandemic. We've talked about this a lot on this program, the problems with online learning, and that's one of the reasons why they're making this call this year. Do you think that's prudent at this point? It has been a while since those third through eighth graders have been subject to those exams.
I really think it is the right decision. It's just totally unfair to the students to be giving them a standardized test because there's been no standard for the instruction that's been given. I mean, teachers have worked really hard in most districts to try to do the instruction remotely. But overall, I think the consensus is it doesn't really work that well. And given the inability of some students to, you know, even receive the instruction, others not desiring to do it, and their parents not, you know, imposing that on them, I think it would be a great disservice to everybody to be involved in standardized tests this year.
Well, hey, it's a big day in New York State. Today starts high-risk winter sports, hockey, volleyball, basketball, cheerleading, wrestling. I may be missing one, but those are the big ones. Are you concerned at all about the potential spread of COVID with those sports being back in business?
Well, I really am. As I've said consistently on this program, I wish that we would be more concerned about getting schools open for academics than to be concerned about starting winter sports. And actually, just at the end of the week, Section 6 announced that wrestling is not included in these new sports allowances. They're going to put them off until May because they said because of the close contact, and apparently if you wore a mask while you're wrestling, you actually could choke. Along with that, though, there were some guidelines put out. It now requires medical clearance for each student, approval from the board in the district, and also, this is really interesting, a rolling average of a positivity rate of no higher than 4%. And at least in Western New York, there are no counties that have a rolling average of less than 4%. I'm guessing that that may be the case throughout the state. So
interesting.
It may not happen. It's just a shame that we're, I think, I know you're a big sports guy, I am too, yeah. But I would rather see us get students back for academics before we get involved with athletics.
And it's certainly going to look a lot different when they do it. No fans in the stands and a lot of other things going on too. But hey, the push to get the kids back in school, the CDC says it's safe. Most teachers, most parents, some kids, want to be back in school. But powerful teachers unions oppose this. I see in Buffalo there's litigation now to keep the schools closed. Why is there such a hesitancy on the part of unions to open schools?
Well, let me just clarify, Bob, that it's the unions in the larger cities that are opposed to it. There are literally hundreds of school districts in New York and Pennsylvania where the teachers are back to work and the unions are supporting that. It's hard for me to understand why the unions are being as obstinate as they are. I mean, the feds gave $15 billion to schools the last time around to help them with protocols and that, and most schools have done what they could, but for whatever reason, the unions, again, in the big cities, are just putting up every roadblock, and I think it's a tragedy.
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week. Just like that, our time is up. But if you have questions about our public schools, there's a great resource you can go to, Ralph. And what is that, sir?
Thank you, Bob. It's simply yrun.org, yrun.org.
Thank you, guys. Issues in Education comes your way Mondays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. All eyes on the nor'easter developing and intensifying now along the upper middle Atlantic coast. It promises severe winter weather today in eastern Pennsylvania. It will impact our region, in fact, as a long-duration event right into tomorrow night and Wednesday. Forecast details look like this. For this afternoon, cloudy. We'll have areas of snow. The heaviest snows will be in central and eastern Pennsylvania. Those snows will continue tonight, and heavy snows are likely again in central and eastern Pennsylvania, lighter amounts north and west. Temperatures this afternoon, tonight, primarily in the 20s. By the time the snow tapers tomorrow and tomorrow night, maximum accumulations will exceed 2 feet in parts of northeast Pennsylvania, but reach to less than 2 inches around the Niagara Peninsula. Temperatures through the period will be in the 20s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noontime, if the stress of COVID coupled with the current political climate makes you want to scream, well, a New York City teacher can help you out with that.
I was thinking, what would people really respond to? Pandemic was in full swing and so on. And I thought screaming.
Chris Golmer, a teacher from Brooklyn, he's launched a website for folks all over the world to vent. And so far, over 150,000 people have left recordings. Some scream, others leave messages of hope. If you're interested in contributing, the website, justscream.baby. That's the world we live in this Monday. Be safe out there, and as always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.